This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. A wild ride for the markets this week. Van On & Company COO Christy Van On Cheeseth said that the grains were trying to catch their breath after a crazy week involving tariff talk.
It's just been such a roller coaster. Initially, you started the week off with tariffs being put on Mexico and Canada. And then the next day, they were pushed back on automobile tariffs. And then the next day, pushed back a month regardless. So I think the market just doesn't know exactly how to handle this. We have a month reprieve, we know that. But it would be nice to see demand start to pick up before people feel a little bit better about it. The U.S. dollar has drastically dropped here in the last month or so. And so when you look at prices in the U.S. dollar, we should be able to drum up some demand. Hopefully that's what we see. But right now, cautiously optimistic for corn and soybeans to finish the week off. Wheat a little bit lower. And honestly, I think people have just said, hey, there was enough excitement this week. Let's step away and let's get ready for the weekend.
The livestock markets ended the week with some spark.
The live cattle doing a really good job finding the support level they needed here early in the week, at the end of last week and early into this. And since then, they've really been able to make a nice run. And so this is really nice to see, especially because it was able to happen with the Dow market, the stock market really struggling with the tariff talk. Same situation for hogs. I think hogs finding that support, because if you're going to get that reprieve on the tariffs, that's actually friendly for hogs. Mexico buys quite a bit of our hogs, so that would be a good thing, and I think they're pricing that in as well.
USDA will be updating its supply-demand report Tuesday. According to the Wall Street Journal survey of market analysts, the average estimate for corn stocks is 1.52 billion bushels. That's down from 1.54 billion last month. The average trade guess for soybean stocks, 381 million bushels, up 1 million from February. Wheat stocks forecast at 796 million bushels. Food prices worldwide increasing in February. The Food Price Index from the Food Agricultural Organization of the United Nations is up more than 8% year over year. Vegetable oil prices are up 2% from January and up more than 29% from a year ago. Meat prices declined marginally from January, but remaining nearly 5% higher than a year ago. Global dairy prices are up 4% on a monthly basis and up 23% on the year. Sugar prices up nearly 7% from January, but down nearly 16% from last year. U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 20,000 grain carloads during the week ending February 22nd. That's 15% less than the previous week, 24% less than last year. The average March secondary railcar bid offers were $478 above tariff, $40 less than the previous week, $497 lower than the same week a year ago. The cost to ship a metric ton of grain from the Gulf of Japan was up 1% at $46.50 per metric ton. The rate to ship from the Pacific Northwest to Japan was $27.50 per metric ton, also up 1% from the previous week. USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending February 27th shows combined old and new crop corn sales of 961,000 metric tons. That's 4% more than the previous week, but 35% less than the four-week average. Old and new crop soybean sales, 408,000 metric tons. 2% less than the previous week, 8% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop wheat sales are 416,000 tons, 52% more than the previous week, 17% less than the four-week average. Acres and shares reporting 20 American Crystal Sugar Company shares were sold last week at $5,600 per share. So far this trading season, 4,947 shares have been sold at an average price of $5,415 per share, with a high of $5,650 and a low of $5,100 per share. China has established its economic growth target for the year ahead at 5%. That's unchanged from last year. The consumer inflation target of 2% is the lowest in more than 20 years. The announcement from the Chinese premier coinciding with a new trade war between the U.S. and China. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
At Common Ground North Dakota, you'll find farmers from diverse backgrounds sharing an authentic conversation about the food we grow and the way we farm. We're here to bridge the gap between farmers and consumers, promoting understanding and an appreciation for our agricultural industry. Join us online for our podcast and blog at commongroundnorthdakota.com. That's commongroundnorthdakota.com. Common Ground is sponsored by the North Dakota Corn Council.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. from the Northern Plains.
We do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America.
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at farm news this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Trump administration announcing Canada and Mexico will not be required to pay tariffs on anything covered by the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement until April 2nd, when the reciprocal tariffs will take effect. According to pro-farmer analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, there's another controversy surrounding the tariffs.
Trade experts are warning that these new tariffs against Canada and Mexico go against what's called Chapter 98 of the Harmonized Tariff Schedule of the United States. And if so, that could undermine free trade principles, etc. So they charge that Trump may not be on legal ground to actually have these tariffs to begin with. Now, to be fair, the Trump administration says that the tariffs are allowed under what they call Article 32.2 of USMCA for national security reasons. But again, trade experts and trade officials disagree with that assessment. So we have another controversy here.
Wiesmeyer criticized the inconsistent approach from the Trump administration.
This is an etch-a-sketch approach to trade policy. I'm writing special reports every other hour almost now because it's not a well-thought-out strategy to me. They need to get their act together. What are they doing? One day, the White House press secretary says there will be no exemptions. The very next day, they announce exemptions relative to the USMCA and the automobile. So you can see that this thing is very fluid, and no wonder the market is so volatile right now, because it's trading one headline to another.
The recent announcement of new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China raised concerns among American farmers, particularly in Minnesota, where trade relationships with these countries are critical. Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wertisch talked about the lasting damage caused by past trade disputes.
Well, the president in his first term, it was 2018-19, he had the tariffs put on, the heavy tariffs primarily against China. We had our tariff wars. You know, we haven't really recovered from that. You know, that incentivized China to invest in Brazil and Argentina into their infrastructure. So we've lost part of that market, and we'll never get that back. China, you know, we haven't gotten the exports back like we had before he put on the tariffs.
Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union and a fourth-generation farmer, says the potential tariffs effects are already being felt.
We've seen the local corn market here tumble almost 94 cents in the last 8 days of trading. Today is the first day that they're predicting that, they're showing us that it's going to be maybe an uptick. That's huge. And all just because of talks of tariffs, and not even to the response of what's going to happen from the tariffs.
Industry officials have raised concerns about South Dakota's new law removing eminent domain as an option for carbon pipeline projects. American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias said the law unfairly targets carbon pipelines,
especially singling out basically just one type of pipeline. Only a carbon pipeline would be subject to these rules.
Bias comparing South Dakota's approach to North Dakota, where leaders have embraced carbon capture as a way to support ethanol in farming. He stressed the need for new demand in agriculture, saying carbon capture could play a key role in boosting the industry.
Every year our corn yields go up. Every year the efficiency at the ethanol plants goes up. But we've basically been running in place on the demand front. We need new demand, and capturing carbon and creating a low-carbon feedstock like ethanol for sustainable aviation fuel or higher blends is absolutely a winner and something we need.
That's a look at farm news this week in agriculture. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
I am a 15-year-old who is the sixth generation on our family farm. My dream has always been to carry on the legacy of the farm, but my parents told me last week that they are going to have to lease out the land and sell the equipment. I felt lost and disappointed, like all my dreams were over. But after talking with them and my friends, I realized that there's still a lot to look forward to. We will stay living on the farm, and I can still pursue a career in agriculture. Those thoughts are what I'm focusing on instead of the loss.
You add the value to North Dakota agriculture. This effort is associated with North Dakota State Suicide Prevention Program.
Sign up for the Red River Farm Network's weekly e-newsletter. FarmNet News arrives in your inbox every Monday morning. American Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstead is a subscriber.
That weekly email that the Red River Farm Network comes out with is my go-to place for ag news. If there's only one thing that I read all week in regards to ag news in the Red River Valley and nationwide, it's always your email, hands down.
FarmNet News, delivering news to your email every Monday. Subscribe at rrfn.com.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. According to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, the U.S. experienced its warmest year on record in 2024, but it did not result in an agricultural disaster like it did in 2012. Rippey explained that the warmth was distributed in a way that spared key agricultural regions from extreme heat during critical growth periods.
A lot of the warmth was focused in the off-season, so fall, winter, spring, and not necessarily during the summer. So that's why we didn't have a widespread agricultural heat-related disaster in the U.S. in 2024. It wasn't a perfect year, but it wasn't a year like 2012, which was the record that we broke.
Rippey also highlighted concerns about winter wheat condition, especially in parts of the southern Great Plains where dry conditions have persisted despite a brief period of relief.
So we actually hit a peak. 60% of the U.S. winter wheat production area was in drought. During planting and establishment season, we hit 60% in late October. So we did have some issues with establishment of the crop. That was especially true in South Dakota, Nebraska. We had some late planting in Oklahoma, so a little bit less established there than we'd like to see by the end of autumn.
Looking ahead into 2025, Rippey warns that drought could intensify in the southwest and spread into the central and southern plains, posing risks to both winter wheat and the summer crops. The strong winter storm that brought rain, snow, and blizzard conditions to much of the Midwest this week continues to move off the East Coast. World Weather Incorporated says the snow was greatest from east central Nebraska through southeastern Minnesota, where 3 to 7 inches fell, with a few locations around southeastern Minnesota reporting as much as 10 inches. World Weather also says the northern plains are expected to be mostly dry and cooler this coming week, with a better chance for snow late next week toward the end of that two-week outlook. The recent warm weather, frost levels in the ground are changing. According to NDON, most of eastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota have frost depths between 20 and 30 inches. In west central Minnesota, the frost is mostly 15 to 20 inches deep, but some areas in Traverse County over 30 inches deep. In central North Dakota, frost depths range from 25 to 30 inches, with some spots in northern Burley and Kidder counties reaching over 50 inches deep. Meanwhile, parts of southwestern North Dakota, including Hettinger, Bowman, Mott, have little to no frost in the ground at all. Farmers in Brazil thought to have made very good harvest progress and planting progress around well-scattered, well-timed rains over the past week. World Weather says a few locations did receive up to 2 inches of rain across the Mato Grosso. Rains will become more frequent through next Tuesday. Excessive heat continues to linger in parts of northern Argentina, where damage from crop stress is likely. World Weather says the rain is expected to be mostly light, though not provide much relief for the crop in northern areas of Argentina. The National Wheat Foundation celebrated the winners of its 2024 National Wheat Yield Contest this past week at Commodity Classic in Denver. Contest, which recognizes top-yielding wheat farmers, featured a new digital yield category aimed at leveraging modern technology. National Wheat Foundation project manager Anna Osborne says the success of the digital yield program has encouraged the foundation to expand it beyond the northern states.
Yeah, we did have really good feedback. So in fact, we're going to expand it down to the central plains states and the hard red winter states. We're expanding that this year.
And that's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
Do you dread the marketing aspect of your operation? Are you worried you might miss out on higher prices? Hi, I'm Christy with Van Aun & Company. Marketing nowadays seems to get trickier and trickier with the ever-changing news around. At Van Aun & Company, grain and livestock marketing is our main focus. Let us help you navigate the unknowns and create a sound marketing plan. Give us a call at 1-800-648-5494. 1-800-648-5494. 5494.
The 123rd National Farmers Union Annual Convention is happening March 9th through the 11th in Oklahoma City, and the Red River Farm Network will be there. I am Jamie Dickerman. Join me for reports throughout the convention. Tariffs, trade war, USDA staffing cuts, uncertainty for the agriculture sector. There's a lot to talk about, and we'll be there to cover it. Reports from the National Farmers Union Annual Convention presented by North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Farmers Union and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. We're reporting agriculture's business on the Red River Farm Network.